join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is We're Out Here Now by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Matthew 14, starting at verse 22. And it reads, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. Those of you who have a paper Bible, highlight that verse if you can. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto the water, unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." This passage of scripture is almost somewhat difficult for me to just try to exegete just this text. Every now and then, I know some of y'all used to traditional preaching. Traditional preaching gives you one text, takes everything, one text. Y'all know the way my mind works. I said, "Oh yeah, over there. So it's over there." And let's tie it all together. But when you recall this incident, this account of the storm at sea and Jesus walking on the water, when you look at the panoramic view, from the other gospels, each of them give us a detail about this account that's pretty important. And so the gospels give us a panoramic view and give us details that we would not see. This is a little passing point. I've been thinking about John lately. I've been thinking about, because we often talk about people being petty. I think John was petty. The more I read these scriptures, John was kind of petty. You can't call John petty. He was petty. He was a man. You say you got the Holy Ghost. You speak in tongues and you petty. John was kind of petty. I was telling Pastor Marcy, I said, one of the first stories we read about the resurrection is that two disciples come to the tomb and the angel says, and they were, after Mary came and said, they ran to the sepulchre. And John says, and I outran the other disciple. Really? That's what we're talking about? Is this a race? I mean, just a little passing point. And that disciple did outrun. He's talking about himself. On another one, John refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, that ain't petty. What is? And it was John often who tells you the other gospels try to cover, because love covers a multitude of faults. Other apostles, the other writers try to cover that when Jesus was having his feet washed with the alabaster box, the woman's hair, and they said, and some began to have indignation. And some said, why all this waste? John said, it wasn't no some, it was Judas. Judas Iscariot, the one who would betray Jesus. I can go with several examples, but more I look at. So that's a little passing point. But we get different details from different writers. And this account of the storm at sea is in Matthew 14. It's in Mark 6. And it's in John 6. And the reason why, sometimes you have to look at the full context to realize they're all talking about the same story with different details. And one of the things that gives us confirmation that they're talking about the same story is that each of these other stories also give the account this was right after Jesus fed the 5,000. So he feeds the 5,000, not counting women and children, and all these people are following him, and they're following Jesus for days, and Jesus is trying to get rid of them. And so he tells his disciples, y'all go on over to the other side. Watch this. I'm paraphrasing, but you're going to see it. He said, I'll catch up with y'all later. And then he sends the multitudes away. When he sends the multitudes away, he takes advantage of this time of being away from the multitude, away from his 12 disciples, and he goes into the mountain to get alone with God and pray. I know some of y'all introverts, some of you extroverts, but can I tell you, there's some time you just need alone with you and God. I don't care how exciting the party was, there's some time where you got to get alone with God. And Jesus would often take the time to get alone with God. And so there is a storm at sea when Jesus tells them to go. Mark 6, 45 through 51. Gives this, from Mark's camera shot, we see this, Mark 6, 45 to 51. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side. Look, somebody say, we're going to the other side. Come on, we're going to the other side of this pandemic in Jesus' name. Amen. To go to the other side before unto Bethsaida. And while he sent away the people, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea. Modern translation, it was in the middle of the sea. Ship was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on land. And he saw them toiling in rowing. This is detail that Matthew doesn't give us. And that John doesn't give us. Mark says, and he saw them toiling in rowing. And the reason why this is important, because this answers the question, why in the world Jesus walking out in the water at 4 o'clock in the morning? Y'all ever read things here? What? That's kind of random. I know y'all more spiritual than me. But I read the script, I said, now that's random. Why Jesus got to go walking on the water at 4 o'clock in the morning? Who just decides to go, I'm going for a walk in the sea. 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus walking on the water. Can I tell you, everything Jesus did had purpose. There's no randomness when you're in the will of God. Woo! Because the steps of a good man are, this ain't random. It's ordered even when I don't know it's ordered. It's ordered, as Sean was leading us in the refrain today, that you got to know God knows what he's doing with your life, even when you don't think he knows what he's doing with your life. Even when you think you could better manage it, you got to know God knows what he's doing with your life. He saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night he cometh unto them walking upon the sea and would have passed them by. I don't believe that's true. I believe that's his perspective. He thought it was going to pass them by. Jesus wasn't about to pass them by because he saw them rowing. Boy, mess up one of the songs of the church. He saw, he wasn't about to pass them by. It looked like he going to pass them by. It felt like he going to pass them by. Because he was walking on the sea. Jesus, we in trouble. Run! He wasn't running on the sea. He was walking. Man, I'm messing my message all up. But has Jesus ever been walking when you feel like he should be running? Has Jesus ever been running when you feel like you should be flying? Why are you taking your time? We want to give him details that we think he don't know. He would have passed him by. Well, but when they saw him walk on the sea, they supposed it was a spirit. They cried out, for they saw him. They were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And he went up. And he went up unto them into the ship. And the wind ceased. And they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Now, what I find interesting about this view and about John's view, neither one of their camera shots showed Peter walking on the water. And they ain't about anything. He always doing something. Nobody care about him walking on water. That's pretty significant to me. But out of all of them tell this story, only one of them mentioned, and Peter said, if that's you, ask, let me come on out there. Ain't nobody got time for that. Different camera shots. But I want to speak today from the subject based upon the scripture says that says, and when evening come, the ship was in the midst of the sea and he was alone on the land. I want to speak from the subject, we out here now. Look at somebody and say, we out here now. Especially if you're sitting by your spouse and you know y'all have made some faith moves. There ain't no turning back. Look at them and say, we out here now. If you got a child and they were such a cute teenager, I mean, they were such a cute little, itchy, cute, little baby, and now they're a teenager, and you start to wonder if this your child. Somebody say, we out here now. We out here. We out here now. If you're starting to blame your husband or your wife for all the negative stuff you see, you know, that runs in your family, don't it? You got that from your side of the family. No, we out here now. It gets real. Life gets real. This faith life gets real. When I started this ministry, even going full-time in ministry in March of 1997 after losing my corporate job, and the Lord told me, well, we had 20 people. We didn't own anything. We were renting a place right down the street, $50 on Sunday, $25 on Tuesday for a week Bible study. I had no staff. And if something didn't work out, and I shut the church down and said, well, we're going to do something else in year one or two. Might have been able to do that. But 25 years later, $15 million of assets, staff of 20 people, paying life insurance and health insurance and workers' comp insurance, insuring all these buildings. We out here now. You got to recognize that there's a point of no return. And when you get to that point of no return, you got to recognize Jesus out here with me. And he's going to take me through. The reason why so many people don't make it because they don't ever think you get to the point of no return. But if you're going to be in the will of God, there's a point of no return. I remember when Pastor Marcel and I, the night we were sitting in the bed getting ready, talking about tomorrow we have our first service and all this kind of stuff. And I remember us was talking then. And we're talking back in April of 1996. And we said then, there's no turning back. We started off saying there ain't no turning back. That's how we start off our marriage. I'm meddling now. We started off our marriage saying, we don't believe in divorce, right? We kept saying it to each other. Before we got married, I asked her to marry me at least 15 times. She kept telling me, yes, I just want to make sure. You're going to marry me, right? I said, I got a ring on her. You're going to marry me, right? Yeah. Because in my mind, ain't no turning back. Wasn't ever planning on doing the 2 and 3 wives thing. And now because I'm on my third wife, keep preaching about, well, you know, the reason why people leave you is because they didn't have enough bandwidth to handle your data. Stop. Shut up. Stop it. No, you got issues. Got nothing to do with their bandwidth and everybody, go ahead, yeah. No, shut up. Just move, talk about the storm at sea. Stop it. Everybody told me, that's good. No, that ain't good. No. You need to go sit down somewhere and learn something about commitment. You need to go somewhere and learn something about self-discipline. It's just like, I'm out here now. I'm not. It's just like, you know, there's a script in 1 John that says, and they went from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. And preachers been using that for years to justify why everybody leave their church. Even if they sleep with all the women, well, they went from us because they was not of us. For had they been of us, don't know that. No, if you would have just stayed with your wife and slept on, maybe that's why they left. I'm out here now. Y'all know I ain't scared. There comes a point. We got to know we out here. We out here. We in the midst of the sea. A couple things I want to point out. I ain't going to get to all of it today. First thing, when you out there, first you got to know, that Jesus sent you out there. You got to know that you know that you know that you know Jesus sent you out there. Back to marriage. My wife and I, we have been through something. We've been some tough times, rough times. The woman of God. Did she ever cuss me out? Just cuss. I've been saved a little longer. I had mastered that. But one time she got real mad in some Newark, OBC. I said, what did you say, woman? No, I didn't, because I was in trouble. I'm like, yes, I'm mad. We done gone through some stuff. Times entered your head, what have we done? But we both, one thing we know, the Lord told each of us that she was my wife and I was her husband. And we gotta sometimes go back to that when you think otherwise. We go back to that when we feel otherwise. Because this is what I know. Whatever God tells you to do, wherever he tells you to go, whatever you got to face along the way, he already knew you were going to face it. What you're discovering, he already knew. What you're finding out, he already knew about. And so you got to know when you're out there that Jesus sent you out there. Mark 6:45-41 and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida. He told them to do this. I believe you got every right when you're going through something that don't make sense to get in God's face and say, God, you told me to do this. You told me to build this. You told me to go here. You told me to start this. So God, I need your help right now. I need your grace. I'm depending upon you. Because you told me. It's something about Jesus telling you that's empowering. Again, only one of them records about Peter walking on the water. And account of Matthew, Peter walking in the water. And I told y'all for years, I used to hear Dr. Creflo Dollar say years ago, one time, he was really being serious. He said, Peter walked in that water and I'm practicing walking on the water. I get out there by my pool and I'm practicing walking. I'm going to walk on that water. So I said, well, if he walked on the water, I'm going to practice walking. I got a pool too. I would go out to here, ba 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 sha da 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 ba 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 sha ba 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 sha ba ba ba. As he is, so am I in this world. He sha ba. You're the God of Abraham, Isaac. You're the God of the Red Sea. The God who held back Jordan. Peter walked on the water. I'm going to walk. And after doing that for a few days, I know y'all think I'm crazy. Come on, you don't get good at anything if you don't practice. After doing it for a few days, I said, now maybe I'm missing something in the scripture. And I went back. And when I went back, I saw in the scripture there in Matthew 14 and verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto the water. And he said, come. Ow! He didn't tell me to come. He told Peter to come. It's something about the word of the Lord that empowers you to do what other people can't do. You got to know that God got you out here. You got to know the reason why I came, because you told me to come. The reason why I went, because you told me to go. The reason why I bought it, because you told me to buy it. The reason why I built it, because you told me to build it. And that's why I got a word from the Lord. It's something about knowing you got a word from the Lord that helps you to stand when other folks are sinking. Somebody say, I got a word, I got a word, I got a word, I got a word, I got a word. You got to know that you got a word from the Lord. But I wouldn't try that if I was you. You didn't get a word from the Lord. I wouldn't attempt that if I was you. You not me. You didn't hear what I heard. You didn't see what I see. We used to say years ago, you weren't dead. You don't know when and you don't know where. Jesus sent them out there. God will sometimes call us to do. I'm going to use the word that our healthcare professionals don't like us to use. God will tell you to do some crazy things. Yes, he will. God will sometimes call you and send you to do crazy, scary things. Has anybody ever got a word from the Lord to do something that seemed crazy and scary? And if you haven't, as Bishop Bailey would say, just keep on living. Keep on walking with God. Whether that's to start a business, whether that's to leave a job. It could even be to marry somebody. You just got to know the Lord told you, because everybody think you crazy. So you got to know. God will call you and send you to do scary things. David calls it the valley of the shadow of death. Why are you talking about the valley of the shadow of death? Because he talks about the valley of the shadow of death, but he starts off talking, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. And first he gives us the good part. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leads me into green pastures. Then all of a sudden there's a shift. And yea, though I walk. Wait, hold up. How we go from still waters and green pastures to walking through the valley of the shadow of death. That's because sometimes, even when you're following the Lord, he leads you into some scary places to do some scary things. But you got to know he's still leading me.
When you're out there, you have to know Jesus sent you out there. God will sometimes call you and send you to do crazy and scary things, but you have to know he's got you. In this powerful series, Bishop Herbert Bailey shows us how we must carry ourselves when we're out there doing what God has called us to do. To order this message, call 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rightdirection.info. As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.